Thank you, everyone, for coming for this update on what's going on at the Sitka Community Hospital. I really appreciate the fact that there are so many people here and that there's a lot of people from the hospital. I want you to know that was not required, though I will notice it when we're doing bonuses.
So.
I've got a lot of information I'm going to try to cover this afternoon and still try to keep a little bit of time for questions. So I'm going to try to move through this presentation fairly quickly. There's a lot going on at Sitka Community, and I'm going to try to touch on a lot of topics, mostly pretty briefly. The two main things I'm going to look at, though, are where are we now, what's going on with us, mostly financially, and then where are we going, and explore some of the challenges there are to answering that question right now. There's really a lot of uncertainty about that right now. So to just jump right into the where are we now, we have our financials through March right now, should get through April's sometime middle of next week. So this is all this information is through the first several months of our fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends in June. As of today, though, just a quick update on our cash situation. We have $3.8 million in the bank. That's approximately 50 days of cash on hand. We reached a high point on cash last year of about $5.5 million. So we're kind of down. It's been floating in the 3.6 range for most of the winter since January. Part of the reason we are actually down where we are from that over five million is we have had some very large cash paybacks in the past 8 months. And so it's actually strengthened up our balance sheet, but it has affected our cash position. One of those is the city, the line of credit, the $1.5 million line of credit from the city. We have paid back more than half of the $1.5 million that was drawn on that 2 years ago when I arrived. So we've paid back just in the past, 7 months, about $700,000 on that, which is great. And we're going to continue making those payments. We also had on our balance sheet a Medicaid issue from several years ago, when the state had a major problem with an implementation of one of their systems for paying our state Medicaid. And they basically advanced the hospital, not just our hospital, but a lot of entities around the state. They basically could not pay us. They could not pay our bills for Medicaid. So they just started advancing money to organizations with the expectation that there was a cash advance that would get paid back. So that was, on our books, it was about $730,000. Been on the books for 3, 4, 5 years, and last year they finally asked for that money back. Wasn't unexpected. We knew they had started asking various hospitals and other entities around the state for their payback. They wanted us to pay it back in one lump sum of $700,000. Cynthia, our CFO, was able to negotiate with them, and so we've been paying that off at $100,000 a month for the past several months, and we have one more payment, 1st of June, and that'll be cleaned up. So in the past 8 months or so, we have paid almost $1.5 million on debt. That is what has happened to our cash, why we're down. But our cash has continued to stay pretty stable. So even though we're paying $130,000, $150,000 a month on these payments, our cash has stayed stable. So to me, that's a real good indicator of that we're still in a pretty good solid position. And we're very seasonal, so over the course of the winter, our cash usually does dip down. All of you seasonal businesses are very familiar with that, and we are getting busier now. We're expecting to see our cash climb through the summer and into the fall time. As far as our operations, volumes are up. We are having a much busier year. In March, our revenues were $242,000 better than budget, just in March. So that was a very busy month. Our total income year to date through the end of March was we were $1.4 million in the black. We were budgeted to be a loss of $300,000. So we are doing even much better than anticipated in our budget. Last March was a complete disaster. We had very few patients, and we were at that point minus $870,000. So it's been quite a swing over the course of the past year. Some of that is due to some one-time events, but even when you take those out, we're still on track to having a good year. One of the things we've been really focusing a lot of attention on at the hospital is operational areas, providing more support, improving not just our quality of care, but also trying to impact our revenue. And we're seeing that in home health. Home health numbers are just crazy compared to budget. We're seeing that in our swing bed and long-term care. You know, we're up to 14 long-term care residents, where in the past couple of years we've been down around 12. So we're focusing attention and resources on areas and seeing the results in our finances and how busy we are. Now, at this point, before we get on to where are we going, I want to take just a very quick detour to give some context, to provide a framework for the challenges that we're facing and how I'm looking at them with our senior leadership team and making decisions and moving things forward. So this is just a very brief detour to give you that framework. This framework is called a Kunafin framework, and I learned about it from a consultant and also from a great article from the Harvard Business Review. If any of you are interested afterward, I'd be happy to provide you the links to that. So what you need to do is picture a box with four quadrants, and each box represents a different type of problem facing us. We have simple, we have chaos, we have complicated, and we have complex. Simple problems are like baking cookies. There are clearly defined goals, established recipes, easy to determine successful outcomes, cause and effect work reliably, and best practices should be used. Complicated problems. It's like getting a rocket to the moon. Success versus failure is clear. Expertise and tested models are essential. Established good practices should be used, tested, and should produce reliable results. Complex problems. That's like raising a child. Do not have a clearly defined goals or definitions of success. Deal with many conflicting interdependent factors that influence the process and that change regularly. Cause and effect are not clearly apparent. Expertise is essential, but it must be flexible. There's not necessarily one correct answer. And then finally, chaotic. Now, we all know what this feels like. Cause and effect no longer apply, and the need is to establish stability again. Opportunities, though, are embedded in the situation. That's what Sitka Community Hospital felt like 2 years ago when I got here, 15 years ago. Felt very chaotic. There was a lot of unknowns and issues and spent a lot of time, you know, in those first months trying to get back to a stable situation. And it has felt, I feel pretty stable until recently. Right now, I feel that it is a little more chaotic right now at Sitka Community Hospital because of some unknowns that are going on. And that's related to where we are going as an entity, as your Sitka Community Hospital. And I really have to say, at this point, I'm not sure where we're going. The biggest issues that are causing this complexity bordering on the chaotic is really the search merger proposal. That is causing a lot of uncertainty and making our complex problems kind of chaotic. And it has affected especially our fiscal year 2018 budget, which we're just in the process of getting approved through the city process. So I'm going to talk about the budget a little bit and this process and relate it into the complex and chaotic, as well as then jump into more about the search process and how that is affecting us and what we're trying to do. So again, any year our budget is complex. We have a lot of moving parts at the hospital, a lot of services we provide. And I also wanted to provide some clarification on city support, because there's a lot of questions and sometimes misunderstandings about the support that we receive from the city. And you know, Sitka Community Hospital is part of the city. We are a department of the city, but we have our own budget and our own budget process that is approved eventually, approved by our board and then by the assembly. But the city support we receive is in three different ways. Every year, we do receive $150,000 of capital support. That comes out of the city general fund. So that is how much money comes from the general fund to the hospital. Normally, that amount was $156,000, but we had a slight cut this year. So we're at $150,000. That's for capital projects on the building or for equipment. And it's been happening over the past several years. We also receive the proceeds of the tobacco tax. And in this year's budget, that is, we have that estimated to be $680,000. So that is a pass flow tax from the city. The city collects the tax, they impose the tax, but all of the proceeds from the tobacco tax, no matter what they are, flow to the hospital. And then the city, several years ago, provided the line of credit. And that is, at this point, the maximum is $1.5 million. And again, that was raised just over 2.5 years ago. And it was started several years ago at the $500,000 range, and then it was raised to $1 million. And a couple years ago, it was raised to the $1.5 million. So that, and the balance right now, like I said, is $710,000 is what we owe to the city. So that's the city support. That's what we count upon, and how it flows into our budget. For fiscal year 2018, our budget is a $33 million budget, and we are our budget is proposed to end in the black, $300,000. And to compare that to where we were last year our budget was break even. And we expect to at least do that, if not do slightly better. And the first budget that I presented 2 years ago was actually almost $500,000 in the red. So we've swung almost $1 million from 2 years ago as far as the actual budget process. We do a pretty intense budget process. It's zero-based. So we build everything from the ground up when we come up with that $33 million. So we had quite a process this year. We had a lot more people involved. A new process that the managers really were able to participate in, and I feel probably our best budget ever as far as developing it and being put forward. My goal has been since I've got here is to get the budget to the point where we cover everything with earned revenue. That means including depreciation. So this budget in 2018 does that for the first time. We are covering depreciation, which is about $700,000. And then the city capital and the tobacco tax go not to balance our budget, but to help us build reserves and replacement funds. So we haven't quite done that yet, but we're very close. I'm hoping that next year we'll be at the point where we'll be in the black, covered our depreciation, and all of the tobacco tax and capital money can go into capital projects and or into reserves. That's a good goal, and I'm really pleased that we are so close to making that. One of the things that came out of this year's budget, though, is that if we're going to be around operating as a standalone community hospital, we will have to change. We did have two big operational changes built into this budget. One was ending labor and delivery at the hospital, and then the other one was, when that happened, going to a halftime surgery schedule. So those were the two big changes to our operations at this point. And of course the question is, why were we proposing those kind of big changes? The way I looked at this moving forward was we were looking at our level of risk and how to lower that, and also at our resources, not just cash resources, space resources, personnel. So was looking at those as we were putting the budget together and what we could do. In labor and delivery, the conventional wisdom in the industry, which is pretty standard, is that you need at least 100 births a year to maintain competency in your program. And we have 30 to 40 is what we is a typical year. 10, 15 years ago, that number was up in the 60 range, but it's been as low as 28, and this year we're expecting it to be in that 30 to 40 range, and that's what we're looking at for next year as well. So that makes it quite a challenge to hire, retain, or train even staff from within, especially nursing staff, to keep that program functioning in a safe manner. And when we looked at it, to properly staff it, it's going to take a lot more additional resources. We're looking at making some changes in the way we staff it to improve, to lower our risk and keep it a safe program. And when we looked at that, the trade-off was just getting to be too high. So we're looking at what we could do, to address that, and looking at ending labor and delivery in that context was one of the alternatives that we came up with and included in the budget. And again, this is one of those complex items that we talked about. It's also very subjective, especially when you're talking risk and safety and competencies. There is no right answer. I'll put that out there. We're making a recommendation, but there is no perfectly right answer. And I think it's very unlikely that we could ever reach consensus in the hospital, at the hospital board level, or in the community. Reaching consensus on this kind of big change and decision, I think, would be difficult. So what we were looking at was, what else can we focus our resources on? And that's not just dollars, but space and personnel, and without compromising on patient safety. Surgery, why it got pulled into that was we also, surgery is important to provide support to labor and delivery. If you don't need that support, we just don't have, at this point, enough business to justify having a full-time surgeon under the, our current scenario. So that's, we were looking at, can we go to a half-time surgery program and still provide the, close to the same level of surgeries and take care of our needs that way, be smarter about how we schedule and work with it. So that was, some of the stuff that went into this decision. It was not an easy decision. It was a lot of debate. What we were really looking at was, what do we need to do to survive and thrive as an entity? We're planning on evaluating all of our programs in such a manner. These were just the first, mainly because of some personnel issues that were also unfolding. This is admin's recommendation in the budget. It has not been approved by the board. The board actually said, "All right, we'll approve your budget, this dollar amount." But the board has the final say over any programs and changes that we make, that are made at the hospital. And they would like additional information and other alternatives before this decision is made to stop labor and delivery and change our surgery program. So, that's kind of been put on hold. We're working on that. I'll get into what we're doing to try to provide that information a little bit further on in the presentation. But, as of now, a decision has not been made to actually follow through on those recommendations. My guess is it'll unfold over the next couple of months in conjunction actually with some of the search stuff. The other big item that we were hoping to get done in the next year was implementation of Cerner as our electronic health records system. We have a current system that we're using that is in the hospital. The clinic is still on a kind of a hybrid paper system, and long-term care is on a different system, and outpatient rehab is also on a different system. And we're trying to get all of our organization under one operating electronic health system. We spent almost a year and a half trying to get our system to work, to evaluate it, whether we could use it on into the future. And then deciding that we couldn't, and then looking for a replacement system. and we settled upon Cerner after a long process. We were prepared when we took our budget to the assembly that was going to be part of our capital project plan, was moving forward on that project. Unfortunately, we've had to kind of postpone that. We had a little bit of a cash hit due to a mid-year rate review from Medicare. Again, the way we're reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid, that's not really complex. It's more complicated, and we just got hit with due to some increases in volume and some timing on our PERS, the way we get reimbursed or the way we have to show our retirement from the state. It's affected our Medicare reimbursements, and the way we are reimbursed from Medicare is it's at a cost basis. They pay for our costs and they evaluate that every year and adjust our rates. And they also do a mid-year rate adjustment. And so at that mid-year rate adjustment, they said, we're paying you way too much. We want $800,000 back, plus we're going to be paying you less for the rest of this year. That was, you know, we had some set aside in case that happened, but we had like $400,000 set aside. So that amount of cash out of what was designated for the Cerner project kind of threw some uncertainty into there whether we could cash flow that project for the next couple of years. So we thought it was wiser to stop on that project for right now, see how these search talks unfold, and see what our cash situation is like at the end of the summer, and hopefully get the project going then. And once we pull the trigger on that, once we've signed the contract, it's a full year to get it implemented. So we hate kind of delaying it even longer, but we feel it's prudent at this point. There was also some pushback from some of the assembly members that, you know, why would you make a huge commitment, a multi-million dollar commitment to this project, you know, when this search talks are going on and there might be some type of merger. So because of that, we just felt it was prudent to wait. So we're hoping to wait for a few months and then be able to move that project forward. So that was all playing out in the budget year, as well as the, like I said, the search merger proposal. And that, I feel, has kind of pushed us from the complex budget year to a little bit of chaotic. The potential there, which is at the assembly level, you know, for a decision on how to move forward on that, has really delayed projects and decisions. I mean, we really are having trouble moving forward on some big projects because of that uncertainty of, you know, what's going to happen there. It's also made it harder to hire people because there's uncertainty about, you know, are you going to be taken over by search in 6 months or a year? That's, you know, we had a pretty strong CFO candidate who, once they started Googling Sitka Community Hospital and started reading about that, I mean, they called and said, hey, what's up with this? I'm not uprooting my family from Georgia to move to Sitka, you know, for 6 months. So unfortunately, that candidate, who had a Sitka connection too, it was very unfortunate, you know, decided to withdraw. So it has made it harder to hire. It's also increased our anxiety amongst our staff. I mean, that's probably our biggest morale problem right now at the hospital is, you know, what's going to happen there? What's going to happen? Do I still have a job? It's caused a lot of anxiety, you know, amongst staff and patients as well. So where we are in that process is in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I think, last night, Search will be making a presentation to the assembly with some type of merger proposal. I'm not sure what that's going to be. I'm as interested in everyone in here to hear that and see what they're going to come up with. As part of that process, the assembly, when they agreed to ask Search to make that proposal, they also asked us to show a plan, come up with a plan showing our long-term viability, and, you know, what some options are to show that we will be around if as a standalone entity, having to compete, you know, in a complex health environment. What's your plan to be here? How are you going to replace buildings and grow? You know, we're working on that. Back in March, before this happened, we had our strategic planning session with our board. And our board has just been in place now for just over a year. So we feel like, you know, after a year, they're up to speed now on a lot of our operations and challenges. And we had a good all-day strategic planning session. And, you know, basically out of that planning session was the same question. How are you going to be viable for the long term? You know, what are we going to do? What changes are we going to make? How are we going to evaluate our programs and services so we can make good decisions so we are here and viable? So, you know, we were starting to work on that project. We thought we had several months. And then at the assembly's request, it came down to weeks rather than months. So we don't feel, we did not feel like we had the resources to do that internally while we were also continuing to operate, you know, as a normal, our normal operations. Made a recommendation to the board to work with a consulting company and, you know, have signed a contract with Stroudwater Consultants, and they are based in Portland, Maine. They do a lot of work actually in Alaska. They work a lot with our state association, hospital association, and nursing home association. That's where I learned about them. They've also done some work for Sitka back in 2003. They did a similar study for the hospital back then, when that was another period when CERCH and Sitka community were talking. So, you know, they're familiar with the state and the native health system that we have here, some of our unique challenges. They're going to be here on site visiting next week as part of this project. And basically what they're going to be doing is called a strategic, financial, and operational assessment of the hospital, which is going to become a tool for our strategic planning. It's going to include a 10-year pro forma. It's going to give us the ability to run multiple scenarios on different programs so we can take a look at some different options. They are going to include labor and delivery and surgery in that, so we can again get some more information to support that decision, or look for some alternatives on some other things that we can do. It's going to include a clinic review and how we operate in our clinic, and a staffing review throughout the hospital as well. And it's going to come up with, you know, recommendations on moving forward and some ways. Other opportunities that we can look at. It's also will acknowledge the unknowns, you know, that we're all facing in the healthcare industry. For those, I'm sure anyone here could name them, but it's at the federal level, you know, what's going to happen to Medicare? The American Healthcare Act, you know, that's in the Senate right now. What's going to happen there? On the state level, it's funding for Medicaid. What's going to happen there? That's a big unknown. We know it's going to be cut, but we're not sure how it's going to affect us at this point. We have built some of those cuts into our budget, though. This plan will form the basis then for the board's strategic plan moving forward. We're looking at it as potentially, after it's done, it's a way that we'll actually look at redoing our budget and operations plan for fiscal year 18, that they might have some recommendations that we can start implementing now. And a way to evaluate programs and decisions on programs and help us figure out a way also to move forward on Cerner, if we can get that folded into it as well. One of the, I'm almost done. Like I said, I'm trying to leave time for some questions. One of the questions that came out of the board's strategic planning session that I think is, this will also be used to help for, is, does Sitka Community Hospital need additional support from the city to remain viable as a standalone community hospital? And the one that, you know, was discussed by some of the board members was, dedicating a mill of property tax, you know, to again give a little bit more of a stream of revenue. So we're hoping that, you know, we'll have information that we can look at that as one of the alternatives. What would that mean to our operations to get a little bit more support? The timing on this report, unfortunately, it's a big report, so it's not something you can just do in weeks. It's going to look like it's going to be mid-July before we get it. I say it's unfortunate because I just hate delaying information and the reaction from the city and the assembly to the CERCH proposal. And this is going to delay that, because I really think we do need this information. It is key before we make any kind of decision on a merger. While I'm not happy about the delay, I think it's worth it. And you know, it'll provide a lot of good information. So I'm going to end here by just talking a little bit about that the search proposal, and what I think are some of the questions that still need to be answered by the community members as they're looking at this, the assembly and the community members. And you know, I think the key question is always, that should be at the top of your mind, is, you know, what's best for the community. Now, these are my thoughts. I want to be very clear about that. This does not represent the administration, the hospital, nor the board. The board has their own process. They'll be part of with the assembly. But this is just speaking. As a citizen here, that these are some of the questions I think that need to be answered. Again, keep in mind, this is a complex issue. There are many, many subjective answers. Consensus is pretty unlikely on this. So some of the questions I think need to be answered. Will it improve timely access to healthcare, whatever is proposed? Is there going to be a patient-first commitment as part of that? Is it going to be provide a safe environment for both patients and staff? What about quality of care? How do you evaluate what the current levels of quality of care are at both organizations? There are metrics available for that, and people should look at that. Where is our quality of compare? Where quality of care metrics? And how do they look at search? There are ways that we can do that, and I think people need to. Patient satisfaction. Again, there are metrics available. How satisfied are patients at both entities? What are the strengths and weaknesses of both entities? Staff satisfaction. We have a culture at Sikkim Community Hospital that we're working on and trying to build and grow and make stronger. And it's a completely different culture from what search has. Not saying it's better or worse, nor that theirs is better or worse. It's just different. We're a small community hospital. We have 200 employees, versus Search. They're a large regional healthcare system with several hundred employees, here and throughout the region, with providing lots of different services and even a different mission. So, I think it's important to look at that as well. What is the culture of each organization? Is there a way we can preserve the strengths of both cultures and grow them? Or is it just going to be, we're going to be subsumed and our culture is gone? Which often happens in just a straight merger. And I think that would be a shame for the community. Who decides? Is the assembly going to make this decision? Or is it going to be up to the citizens? That question has not been answered yet in my mind. And of course, financial stability, that's got to be in there as well. We need to evaluate the financial stability of the larger partner and make sure that they are stable and that they're there. Can't be the only driver. Financial stability shouldn't be the only driver. There's a lot more to healthcare than that, as I've learned over the past 2 years. Those are just some of the questions I think people should keep in mind, as we're having this discussion. And the last thing I want to talk about is areas where we could collaborate if we don't go the full merger route. We could really cooperate and work to have an amazing OB program in this city if we work together. Then we're up over the 100 births, between the two entities. Surgery. If we work together on the surgery departments, we could have 24/7 coverage for both entities. Security. One of our problems is in the middle of the night, we don't have the funds to hire somebody on security. So we depend, upon 911, basically. And Search has a security detail. I would love to purchase those services from them so that they send their security people over to do a drive-by a couple times a night. Behavioral health. we don't do a great job of, on the behavioral health side. We just don't have the resources. I'd love to cooperate and collaborate, you know, in those areas with search on that. So I just wanted to say thank you again for attending. That was a lot of information. Got a few minutes, I think, for questions. I do want to thank the team, though, that we have at Sitka Community Hospital. You can see many of them are here. I really enjoy working with this group of people. It's a wonderful mission, providing health care to the community. I think we do a darn good job of it, and I think we're going to continue to do that for a very long time. And we have a lot of opportunities and some great stuff ahead of us to do that. So I want to thank them and thank the community as well for its support. You know, this community does do a lot to support Sitka Community Hospital. That's very important. It'll be important on into the future. And thank you for attending. So like I said, I do have a few minutes for questions.